It's time for our monthly conversation with Murray State President Dr. Randy Dunn. Today, we'll break down Murray State's latest enrollment numbers. Dr. Dunn, you've got a meeting with the Kentucky Council on Post-Secondary Education to discuss those numbers coming up, right?
That's right. We've had some good news, Chad, as we look at the official enrollment for 2012-13. And in addition to a number of other things I'll be talking about in a report to the council, as you've referenced, we came in at 10,832. I was hoping for 11,000, but knew we'd probably end up in this ballpark and did around 2% growth. But as we've broken down the numbers and tried to disaggregate those figures to know what's going on where, I really am heartened by a couple of things that we've seen for this year. I think we've got a couple of challenges that we've noted in reviewing enrollment as we think about what happens for the future. Again, as I guess I've been saying now for the past couple of years, we're going to continue to see this kind of slow, steady growth. You know, we'll keep pushing for that. And then I think it's fair to say at what time over the coming years you see us at that mid 11,000 range, maybe in the vicinity of 11,750 students, then we'll kind of hold off. But given the trajectory of growth, we'll continue the same program that we have for some time. And if you'd like, I'm glad to share a couple of those spots. One of the areas that we really saw a nice increase, and of course this is where you want to see good solid growth, is in our number of first-time freshmen coming to the university. If you think about Murray State being, again, a traditional residential campus, the bread and butter of that is first-time freshmen who are coming to MSU. So as we look at those numbers, we had nice growth, roughly 6.5%, and I think that just bespeaks in an amazing way the work that we've tried to do to focus on that core group of potential students who had come to the university. Largest entering class we've had, again, buttressed in large part by those first-time freshmen.
And it reduces your, your turnover rate. You know, you may show growth in graduate students, but you'll lose them in 2 years.
That's right. And one of the things that we've been really fortunate to be strong in, and we're still working to continue this as well and get better, but one of the things we continue to be strong in is retention. A critical year as you look from freshman to sophomore. Increased focus nationally on now sophomore retention. Obviously, the four-year retention rate is one we track very closely, and we've done quite well on that metric. So the fact that we're getting them here is the important component because we do have the pieces in place compared to other schools that will have us retaining them, have us keeping those students here for the 4 or 5, sometimes 6 years that it takes to get them through degree. Another area where we've been particularly strong, again, giving focus and attention to that, has been with international students overall. So if you look across the board, all the way from undergraduate to graduate, for those internationals who come here seeking a degree. We're not talking about students who may come from a country to learn the English language or have English language immersion activities, those ESL students. We're talking about those coming here for a declared degree program. We've seen amazing growth there, roughly 16% on a year-to-year comparison for all of our international students. So,
what can you attribute anything to that significant growth?
Well, I think the fact that we've been really focused in our recruitment and admissions functions with those international audiences. Again, it's not about just internationaling the campus and making us a global university, which is important for our students to come out as learned individuals having that background. But it's also a means to help absorb this capacity that we have and bring needed revenue on the tuition side to the university. So, again, it's not us just going everywhere in the world and trying to grab whomever we can. These students have to be qualified. They have to fit the Murray State University profile. But with that being the case, we've really tried to concentrate on these partner relationships in universities in a particular number of countries where we know the numbers are there, the potential is there to build enrollment, and that operation seems to be humming along quite nicely given this double-digit percentage growth on international. Now, all of that being said, we have our soft spots as well, and we have to get better in bringing transfer students to Murray State University, particularly from the community colleges. We had only about 1% generally. I've really kind of given the charge to a number of folks on campus for those numbers to get markedly better as we go into future years. We've actually made a change in directorship of our transfer center. We have a new individual, Maria Rosa, and I've already had some email going back and forth with her about how we really have to dig in and make some clear improvements here. And I think when we sit here a year from now and talk about that, you will note some marked difference. Graduate enrollment was down slightly, a little less than 1%. That's not all that surprising. When you have difficult economic times, yes, you'll see the phenomenon where at different times through a recession, students may come to the university to get some new job skills, to brush up on a mid-career certificate program. But it's not unusual overall to see graduate enrollment that can be pretty tough during times of financial or economic retrenchment. We've also made a change in terms of graduate enrollment leadership within the provost's office. So I think you'll see some movement there, although maybe not quite as much in transfer until we start to come out of the economic recession. But overall, when you think about the fact that nationally enrollment has dropped, and if you follow the popular press or the higher education press, we're going against the grain. We've had growth. Not huge, but we're getting growth when nationally that's not the case. And when you can also point to specific instances near us where the trend has been downward, probably the most obvious one that comes to mind is Southern Illinois University Carbondale, which in their official census figures for this year showed a loss of 1,000 students. So the fact that we're about half the size of SIU Carbondale in terms of overall enrollment, and we show ourselves up, in the vicinity of 250 so students when SIUC is down 1,000, I think shows that we're on the right track, we're doing the right thing, and for the future, we're just going to kind of keep this push on for the steady, sustained growth until we hit that point where, in essence, all the theoretical slots available to us in all of our existing sections of courses are filled. We really have absorbed all of that room that we have left. And then at that point, we'll see us kind of stopping, centering in at whatever that figure may be. Again, I've mentioned 11.5, 11.750, possibly up to 12. I don't see us going larger than that. There's always the danger in getting past that point that you start to lose the feel, the culture, the engagement that makes Murray State University what it is. And we cannot have that happen. If you look at kind of a curve of enrollment growth with operational efficiency, I'm also kind of convinced personally of the fact that peaks somewhere in that 11 to 12,000 range. And I think that becomes the place we kind of cap out.
A new release from the Kentucky Department of Education is the first round of new testing on their new core content areas, the K-PREP tests. And scores did drop considerably, but the Kentucky Department of Education expected that because the content areas are a bit more challenging for students. But what I'm keenly interested in is the scoring measure on college and career readiness, where you're seeing a drop in the readiness for college or career, and you're in some schools at 51% in our region. And I wonder how that translates into the need for remediation learning at Murray State. Do the numbers from this test reflect the amount of remediation that happens at Murray State?
One of the things we expected to see happen, and this is common across the country, we experienced it in Illinois, is that when you're coming on with a new assessment and accountability system, you are going to see this kind of drop or this bottoming out because you're setting a new baseline for that new assessment and accountability system. You ask about what this means for those students coming to the university potentially needing remediation. I think that while there are some good indicators in what we're seeing with particular school districts, especially those within this immediate region who have done well and should be quite proud of the scores they've posted, on the whole, I don't think you're going to see Murray State University or any of the other universities in the Commonwealth being able to get out of the remediation business very soon. Right now, if you look across Kentucky, and this generally holds for Murray State, we're a little better than the average, but overall, about 1 in 3 students comes to a public university in Kentucky needing some sort of remediation, developmental assistance, and at least one of the core subject matter areas. We have an indication that that work is going to continue for us. We want to keep looking at new ways to deliver that remedial work. And right now, we're in the process of trying to figure out if there may be some other approaches to do this more efficiently, more quickly, in a more cost-efficient manner. But we're going to keep doing the business in preparing students who come needing to bolster or up a score in a given subject matter area. That's going to continue based upon what I'm seeing out of these scores. I think it also says to us as a university, we have to keep up our efforts to assist and support our K-12 partners, particularly our feeder high schools, as they seek to respond to what the K-PREP scores are telling them. So we've talked here before about our K-12 Connect initiative, some of the individual programs that we're now starting to get in place out of that. We're not going to be letting that up. I think as much as anything, what we're seeing here is going to cause us to keep refocusing and refining those efforts to assist our feeder high schools.
There are budget planning review teams going on, the meetings going on across campus.
Oh, yes, there are, Chad.
And so there's chatter going on around campus and how these budget planning review teams, their recommendations, and the Board of Regents' action will change Murray State University in the future. And we're coming up on a December board meeting. Mm-hmm. Will we hear anything about these meetings that have been happening across campus?
Well, yes. And just to recap for some in the audience who may not have followed as closely, we ended up approving this year's university budget, the one for FY13, with almost a $2 million deficit. So we had to get that covered out of reserves, and our board was willing to do that for 1 year, but said that can't happen in the future. So we have a need to look at funding sources that will allow us to keep doing program growth and thinking about the right array of student services and looking at adding to salary and benefits for our employees over the years. So all of that had led to what you've noted, a set of a dozen budget planning and review teams that have been put together and are working all through this year to identify savings, opportunities for new revenue, areas where we might be able to consolidate or reallocate. And to some degree, I think it will change the face of the university going forward to free up funds for things that are our core business focused on teaching and learning. As you indicate, our board had requested when they endorsed this concept of work for this year, they had requested kind of a midterm update at their meeting in December. So we're going to be coming to a point where we summarize the work that's gone on to date, and we'll be sharing that with the board in about a month so that they know generally the nature of the progress that's getting made. And what you'll probably see in those reports is more a general summarizing of the things being examined, studied, analyzed, but I don't think you should anticipate this laundry list of necessarily 100 plus things that are specific items or actions that will be undertaken. I actually don't want that to happen until spring, when the final report of these budget planning and review teams comes forward. The danger is, if you get this kind of detailed list that comes out midway through the process, it's not unusual to then see all the long knives come out. And for those who may want to protect a program or may want to kind of shift the action or the work of the budget teams, that all gets started going before the work has even been completed and fully taken place.
And lastly, we'll talk about a new program. Outreach has been something key in your presidency, establishing an Office of Regional
Yes.
Outreach here at Murray State, and now something new called Get Connected, if you care to explain that.
Yeah, actually, in a few days from this taping, we're going to be launching an initiative within the Office of Regional Outreach called Get Connected. And you are right, and I appreciate you mentioning it, Chad. If there's been any defining thrust or focus for my time as president here at Murray State, it has been on this notion of taking the university to the region and really changing the face of the region, nurturing it, growing it, improving the quality of life. So within regional outreach, we're launching a new program called Get Connected, which is an online tool that will allow us to better broker services between individuals at the university and those agencies within our 18-county region that are needing assistance or support. Regional outreach has been kind of a broker, if you will, for these services, but this online tool will have us with the ability to partner directly from individuals and offices at Murray State to places within our region that may need assistance or help or support, whether that's a governmental unit, a United Way, whatever the case may be. So watch for this. We continue to extend the work of regional outreach and get it to use kind of a two-bit term in higher ed, to get it institutionalized so it really does change the face or redefine what we stand for as a university. So you'll hear more about it as we go from there, and I think it's going to be very exciting.
And I feel as though many of your administrative staff had a sigh of relief when you mentioned that you were no longer seeking the Missouri State presidency.
I thought I'd get through this interview without talking about it.
No, you have to mention it.
I understand.
The campus was waiting to find out whether or not you would be assuming a role. You were a finalist at Missouri State University and decided that the position wasn't for you?
Well, that's right. And for those who followed this, I did issue a statement when I withdrew my candidacy from Missouri State. Probably a couple of things can be mentioned. We withdrew, and I say we because Rhonda was as much a part of this as me in thinking through how to proceed. But we withdrew after homecoming weekend because so many individuals who were back on campus stopped us, talked to us, you know, I think were totally heartfelt in their sentiments and said, we'd really like for you to stay. We hope you don't go. And that had a profound impact on us. I mean, it really did make a difference to us. That entered into our thinking. There's no doubt about it. It's not that that's not a good school or a nice community. It is, but it wasn't worth leaving Murray State for. And we knew that after the visit, but coming out of homecoming, it just reinforced it. Until what time the board determines whether or not to extend my contract, you know, I think we'll have to keep options open. I can't sit and not think about that for the future. And as I said in the statement, I continue to say for what time I'm serving as president of Murray State, we're going to rock and roll and keep doing a lot of things. And I feel very blessed by this position, the faith that's given to anyone who serves in a presidential role for a university like this. We'll keep working and see what the future brings.
Dr. Dunn, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Chad.